Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to MSTC Limited Q2 FY24 earnings conference call hosted by Equirus Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is now being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ansh Manik from Equirus Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rohit. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Equirus Securities, I welcome you all to the Q2 FY24 earnings conference call of MSTC Limited. From the management, we have with us today Mr. Surinder Kumar Gupta, Chairman and Managing Director, Ms. Bhanu Kumar, Director of Commercial, Mr. Subrata Sarkar, Director of Finance, and Mr. Ajay Kumar Rai, Company Secretary. We will begin the call with the opening remarks from the management, and then we can open the line for questions and answers. I now hand over the call to Mr. Surinder Kumar Gupta. Over to you, sir.
Yeah. Good morning, everybody. We are with you all today for our second quarter results, that is, the first half year of current financial year 2023-2024. I'm delighted to inform all our investors that our main e-commerce business, we have got a growth of around 10.33% in our e-commerce earnings. Last year, in the corresponding period, it was 167.71 crore. This year, it is slightly more than 185 crore. So that's a growth of around 10.33%. And our profit before tax is around 159 crore against around 145 crore last year. That's a growth of around 9.60%. One factor I would like to bring to the investors is that this growth is despite the decrease in commodity price. Like, scrap is one of our good revenue sources, main revenue source, which contributes significantly to our income. The prices were down around 15%-20%. Presently, also, they are around 10% down from the corresponding period of last year. Similarly, the iron ore prices were also subdued. They have just shown a reverse trend now. And despite that downward trend in prices, we have been able to maintain good growth. And I can assure all our investors that in the second half year, as the commodity prices are going up and the, I mean, and the worldwide scenario also, with this increase in prices, so MSTC will show a significant growth in the revenues as well as the profits in the full year this year also. That is what my belief. So my Director of Finance is there with me. He will also brief about certain financial highlights. And our Director of Commercial will be joining very soon. She's in some urgent meeting, important meeting. She will also be joining, and she will be giving the remarks.
Yeah. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody. So, like, before we go to the financial highlights, I would like to apprise our esteemed investors, like, what discussions we are going on for last after the IPO for around five years. So, like, we this time, we are in a very comfortable position so far the Standard Chartered Bank case is concerned. And first time, we have also noticed that you have seen our financials, our balance sheet is here, our assets, that's the fixed assets that were attached by DRT that has been released by DRT, and we were able back to get refund of 90 crore that were deposited for the appeal. And the appeal has been allowed in our favor. Right now, it is an open request for only through original application is allowed against us. So right now, it is a very positive news that I wanted to share before I go to the financial highlights. So the official financial highlights are, like, it's basically a growth. I would say it's a growth, although the figures say it's a flatter figure, but as our CMD advised, despite the reduction of the commodity prices, we are able to maintain the same line of growth this quarter also, as well as this half of this financial year also. So during the financial year, during this half one financial year, so far volume is concerned, we have crossed 626.03 billion, and PBT is of course on the consolidated basis, it is up by around 3% from 154.54 crore to 158.56 crore. And so far these the business updates are concerned, MSTC has successfully completed the sale of the rights on behalf of APMDC. It has also conducted the e-auction of blue stones on behalf of HSIDC, and it has this coal linkage was one of the bread earners. So 2.42 million empty coal has been also sold by through linkage auction. And in the state of Madhya Pradesh, 36 trans goods have been successfully auctioned, because it is almost the second second replica of what we had done in the UP, which has made a large gain to the UP government exchequer. So going by the highlights of the standalone, so total revenue H1 is a little bit lower. Of course, in the term profit terms, EBITDA profit after tax, PBT it is higher, 145.07 to 158.99, and PAT is almost on the flatter trajectory, 115.60, this year 113.08, and of course EPS is also showing the same type of result, that is 16.06 as compared to 16.38. And now if we go to the segments, so if you go to the segment, you see total revenue from e-commerce has grown from 167.71 to 185.03. Marketing almost down, and it is a conscious decision. And profit before tax has gone up from 145 to 158.99, and profit after tax is almost on the linear trajectory, that is 113.08 as compared to 115.63 on consolidated basis. Consolidated basis, PBT has almost flatter, but a little bit lower, 158.56 from 154.55, and profit after tax little bit lower, 105.95 to 117.97. EPS showing the same trend. So that's the scenario on the consolidated part. So I would like to hand over for Q&A session.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all the participants in the conference, please limit your questions to two per participant. The first question is from the line of Aman from Aman Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sure. Thank you, sir. Sir, first of all, congratulations on good set of numbers and high margin. Sir, if you can just be comfortable with sharing, where is our trajectory going forward in terms of e-commerce and in terms of marketing? Because we have seen a huge dip. Are we seeing recovery over there? And also on the scrap sale side, because we have added some verticals as well because of vehicle scrappage policy, how is it turning out to be? And also any other allied industries which we are supporting? through our platform. Thank you. This is one after I joined.
Okay. Yeah. You see, regarding your question about e-commerce and marketing, let me very clear that our main focus presently is on e-commerce only. So market is a very small segment of our business. That is also a busy batch scheme. And we are not able to, I mean, we are not basically as a matter of policy, as a matter of decision, we are, our focus is entirely on e-commerce. And if you see, in last couple of years, we have got good growth in e-commerce, and we are maintaining that. And we are adding the new portfolios, new customer, new businesses, new types of commodity continuously our e-commerce portfolio. Regarding the vehicle scrappage policy, I can say that now many states have implemented that policy, and a lot of people are showing interest in that. But because of the complete ecosystem is yet to take roots, so the business per se is right now hasn't good basically profitability, but in future, for the times to come, it will be a very big, big business, and MSPC is always looking for entering into the new areas as far as the eco, recycling is concerned. So we are exploring possibilities in other recycling industries also. Thank you.
Sir, if you can just comment, sir, one last question. If you can just comment on circular economy and how are we seeing opportunities over there, because there is certain requirement of scrap being again and again used, and the demand is there, but the supplies are unable to meet it. If you can just comment on how are we going to structure it going forward in 1 or 2 years? What is our role as MSTC, not just being a platform, but also a service provider as well? What will our role be in the whole chain of circular economy? Thank you, sir.
Right. It's a very, it's a very pertinent and very relevant question that you have asked. Thank you for that. Like, so far, circular economy is concerned, we have taken a role of, like, you can say the three-tier role. First, like, we were there as a, big catalyst so far circular economy is concerned, because of a lot of scraps were being auctioned through our portal. Afterwards, when that vehicular scrap policy came into picture, so we had worked side by side and along with MORTH, NITI Aayog, and our ministry to formulate a very, very conducive type policy for the facilitation of these type of vehicles, and that it goes to the economy, like in a green steel manufacture in future. So far, this MORTH, that this regular policy is concerned, as CMD staff was explaining, it is the complete ecosystem will take little bit of time to set in. Once that is set in, so it will be a good thing, and it will, whole cycle will be completed. And we, as a role of auctioneer, we are already doing auctions for the government vehicles, and we have already opened the roads for portal for private vehicles also. So once the ecosystem is placed, this option will also take a place. The second role that we, through our JV route, like Mahindra MSTC Recycling Private Limited, we are doing, we have already had a big presence in whole country as a recycler of these type of vehicles. So we, that is our second role. And third, we time to time are discussions with respective ministries and all these things, giving our inputs from what is what we are getting from our stakeholders, like our leaders, like recyclers, to the ministry as a bridge between them, so that a proper policy framework and ecosystem takes place. So, as of now, we feel that it will take a little bit of time before it sets in a typical structure and system.
Sir, the time, if you can just be more clear, is it beyond 6 months, or these takes 2-3 years time.
Basically, you see, it is very difficult to give a timeline because, you know, in a financial projection, generally we have a project report in place, DPR in place, and we can tell you as an investor, as a stakeholder, like, look, this is the projection system. But here, lot of stakeholders are involved. In particular, state governments are involved, central government is there. So it is very difficult, but that much one we can tell you. It is in the top priority of Government of India, and of course NSTC is on the job. So it will take a flight. It has already taken up, lined up. So it will be in a very soon or later you will see, once the state governments are also roped in, so it will be a total ecosystem for the whole country as well.
Sir, last question I have.
Sorry to interrupt you, sir. May we request you to return to the question? Okay, sure. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Miraj from Arihant Capitals. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. Sir, in the opening commentary, you did mention that the commodity prices were down, mainly scrap being lower. Sir, you mentioned a couple of figures. Could you please reiterate? Is it 15 to 20% down in the previous quarter and 10% down in the current quarter, Q3? Or if you could just clarify, I got it in that manner.
Yeah, good afternoon. I'm Mrs. Bhanu Kumar, Director Commercial. Sorry, I couldn't join earlier. I've just joined. So I'll address your query. What has happened is scrap prices were a little down in the first quarter. Now it is picking up. Post July-August, the monsoon session, it is now picking up by around 8 to 10%. The main issue that we had faced is in respect of prices of iron ore. Last year, iron ore prices were really, really up. And thereafter, from third quarter onwards, it was showing some drop. And now, though it has stabilized, but it has not reached the levels of last year, the last year, first H1. So because of that, because our revenues are as a percentage of, the volume, so that also gets affected. But now that it has stabilized and it has been witnessed that the second half is generally a very good, a period for such kind of sale. So we anticipate that there will be some increase, though maybe not to the extent of 20-25%, but another 5-10% we can estimate that there will be an increase.
Okay, so you mentioned, ma'am, the revenue is a percentage of volume or percentage of total value?
Value,
okay. And my last question before I get back in queue is what are the current opportunities available in the e-commerce side? Because as we mentioned that that is our main focus. So any new business avenues or products that we are currently mainly focused on, which could come up in the next, 1-2 quarters or the in this current financial year?
See, as far as scrap and minerals and other products are concerned, where we are already operating, on a daily basis, we are having new sellers, very small volumes, but by drop, it is increasing, the number of, the clients that we serve to. In terms of asking for new products or new projects, immediate future, there may not be a substantial growth, but I think we had talked about this in the last year also. We are now in the process of engaging with other software developers and SaaS companies. And with their association, we are now planning to take up bigger projects for the government. E-commerce, the whole potential has never been mapped. So there is a wide opportunity awaiting. It depends on being there, doing the right thing at the right time. We are exploring all the opportunities, but the results will come over a period of time. This cannot be, that we get a project and immediately we start earning from that. These are things that we have to do in association with other companies. These are long-term projects. So that will give revenue in the future, but not in the immediate future.
Understood. Okay. I'll get back in the queue for follow-up questions. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Kale. Please go ahead, sir.
Am I audible?
Yeah.
Sir, question regarding FSNL business investment. It's been 1.5 years since the EOI was floated. Where are we with the FSNL disinvestment? That's the first question. I have a follow-up. I'll ask that once I hear the answer.
Yeah, so for FSNL disinvestment is concerned, like DIPAM is seized with it. So time to time you can get a update in the DIPAM website. But as of now, nothing at our, so far MSTC is concerned, in our knowledge that that specific something concrete has been yet been finalized. But I can tell what transition advisor and LA has been done, and certain interested bidders are also been shortlisted. But so far, other things are concerned, like price bid, etc., that is within the purview of Government of India. So as and when they will be invited and they are opened and some results are there, so it will be on the DIPAM website, our website, and of course, we will also let you know. And there will be, of course, certain formalities as per the company's law. So you all be made apprised on that.
This was Chairman, sir, right? Sir, this has been the consistent answer from the management regarding FSNL disinvestment. This, as an investor, to me doesn't give me anything. I mean, neither we are on this side. It's like a cat sitting on the wall situation. Whether which side it would jump, can't say. I mean, how, as an investor, do you expect us to continue to hear this update? Right? That's the first comment. Okay. And second thing, as an organization, do we think the FSNL disinvestment is in our interest, or whether it is not in our interest? Because if I'm not mistaken, they contribute to about 30% in our on our top line, and about the same in our bottom line, right? So then, whether it is in our interest to divest that stake, or I mean, we will part ways with FSNL. So whether it is in the long term interest of the organization, I would like to hear the management's views on this.
You see, we have made it categorically clear that FSNL disinvestment is being done by the Government of India itself, DIPAM, specifically. This is not a decision that has been taken by the company, MSTC, and none of the activities are also done by the company directly. So we are also just a party to the entire process. And when we are not in a decision-making position, there is no point in saying whether it is good for the company, bad for the company, only time will tell. But if the government has taken a decision to disinvest certain PSUs and they have already made a roadmap for this, as a company, definitely we are not going to question the decisions of the Government of India or start analyzing their decisions.
Okay, Manu ma'am. So basically, it's just since we are party to what the government does, we'll have to go by what they are because they are a PSU. Absolutely. Am I right in saying that, ma'am?
Absolutely, absolutely. You're right.
Okay, ma'am. I'll come back with my questions in the queue. I'll join back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Raghav from Credent Family Office. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So I noticed that our total value of goods traded has nearly doubled quarter on quarter in the e-commerce business, but our revenue has not really gone up in similar proportion. So can you shed some light into it, and how can we, like, as investors, you know, estimate for ourselves how this translates in the future as well?
Right from the beginning, we got ourselves listed. We have been stating that our e-commerce services, the service charge revenue that we earn, is not actually directly related to the volume. Some of it is related to volume. Most of it is not related to volume. It is on event basis. So the volumes that we are talking of, last year we did more than 3 lakh crores through our e-commerce portal. And year before that we did something like 1.5 lakh. This year again it is likely to be in the range of, you know, just over 1.5, 2. We may not be able to do 3 lakhs. But that doesn't mean that we will be earning less. The here is there is no correlation between the volumes and the value for majority of the activities that we do in e-commerce. Like, I'll take an example of Spectrum auction or the coal block auction. If a major coal block is getting auctioned, the annual revenue that accrues to the state, that is accounted for in our sales volume figures. Now, in a particular year, there it may happen, in another year it may not happen. But the revenue that I get for carrying out that event is constant. So the volumes actually don't have any impact. So there's no point in analyzing the volume. Just go by the service charge revenues, the potential that we are talking about. And based on that, you can have your fair estimation.
And one more question that I had was in the financial liabilities. So the other financial liabilities has come down by around 452 crores since March. And there is still about 924 crores left. So can you please shed some light into it, because that's affected our cash net cash position as well. So how do we, can you just shed some light on that?
Well analyzed, gentlemen. One thing I must, before I answer, I must tell you one, I am giving you another input. If you see this net of liability, our cash position, so it has grown up as compared to 31st March. Now coming back to your question. So, you know, these type of liabilities, these are sometimes what we have already explained. Some money comes and some money goes through our portal. So it keeps on fluctuating. So what we have to do, we have to analyze through our net cash position. So net cash position has already increased and it is a comfortable position. That much I can tell you. It will keep on fluctuating. Sometimes lesser, sometimes higher. Because of that factor, that is all, as on cutoff date, what is the position is there. So that is the point, sir.
And can you hear some, like, what is the other financial liabilities, and you still have 924 crores left. So will that also get cleared up?
Yeah, basically what happens, like some kind of payments that has to be passed on to the principals. That remains in our books. So that is the main type of things. So that keeps on fluctuating. So as long as there is some kind of payment that is not been passed on, that remains as a liability on that particular, this is a financial liability. But if you see, you have to weigh it on basis of net cash basis. You see the cash balances and minus it and see the net position, sir.
Okay, thank you. I just had one last suggestion to make. So in the last quarter, you all had put up a slide, you know, about the RESF business with the joint venture that we are in, but this quarter it was missing. So I just, my suggestion as an investor is, can you please, you know, give us an idea of the number of centers that you all have opened, the opportunities and the quarterly progress that we are making. So that would be really helpful in the end-of-life vehicle business and the circular economy that we keep talking about.
Really, thank you very much for your suggestion. We will, we have noted it out, and just now we will make a blank slide of that, and next year, investor meet, we promise that it will be there for your consumption, sir. Right?
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Srinivas Reddy. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Reddy sir.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity. My question is regarding the non-scrap e-commerce business growth. What is the percentage at present for the non-scrap e-commerce business you are doing, and what are the future prospects for the growth of that non-scrap e-commerce activities?
Almost 50% of our revenue is coming from non-scrap now. So we will be maintaining that, because there is growth in scrap business also. So the growth happens in both the scrap as well as non-scrap business, which is, I think, a very healthy sign, because see, our core operations all throughout in so many years has been, mainly scrap business. That is the backbone of our revenue. Over the years, we have just diversified to other products, other areas, and we are incorporating digitization in all the transactions. Non-scrap is also important. Growth will be there. But scrap is something that we will always be pursuing very, very vigorously because we are numero uno in that. We have a definitive advantage. So we will keep continuing with that.
My second question is regarding your subsidiary with Mahindra and Mahindra for the vehicle scrap business. So what will be the future growth prospects for this company in terms of, can you quantify regarding the near term and medium term growth possibilities?
If you have gone through the analysis in the last few quarters, there has been a scrappage policy, there has been a push by the government, lot of institutional framework has also been set up to give an impetus to this area. But in ground reality, it has not taken that kind of the growth that was envisaged. That is still taking time.
Yeah.
And many of the states are yet to, come up with some kind of facilities, infrastructures, and give an impetus to this sector. So unless that happens, the raw material is not going to come for a JV company. And unless they are able to break even or see substantial raw material input, the performance is likely to be lukewarm. So we are pursuing, as a government organization, we have been pursuing with all the state governments, the central governments, MORTH, to, whatever help is required from our side, coordination we are doing. But finally, the decision makers are the state governments and the central government, right? So, the case of automated testing stations. See, that is the first thing that is required for declaring any vehicle as ELV. That infrastructure is not available in the country, and for setting up that, huge investment is required, new infrastructure is required. It has to be on a PPP mode or a private ownership mode. What is the kind of policy framework that has to be prepared? All the governments are still deliberating on these aspects. So it is expected that definitely, it will come soon, come together very soon. But it is a slow progress.
Regarding this previous provisions for the past, you have cleared all those pending provisions, or there are any left for the future from the legacy provisions?
As far as trading is concerned, we have already provided for all the receivables. As far as e-commerce is concerned, there can be one or two, very small, insignificant provisioning. So that will always be there. When we do business, there will always be, some kind of a dispute as to whether the service charge is payable or not payable and things like that. So that will be very, very minuscule. So more or less, there will be no provisioning going forward.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Arshad Jain from Ra Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, thank you for the opportunity. My first question would be regarding our cash balance. So as I'm able to see our cash flow statement, last year we make an FD of around 520 crore and this year in the first half we have made an FD of 240 crore. So I just wanted to know that why we are putting almost 750 crore of rupees in FD and why not give the same amount of money either to investors or do a buyback, just to improve return ratios.
Right. Whether you are following up our previous conversation or not, right now, so this cash balance has not to be seen in unison. It has to be seen with the liability that we are having. So, right. But this quarter, of course, we have certain cash right now with us. First of all, we have brought back this 90 crore free deposit which Standard Chartered Bank along with interest. So that is the main thing, and certain accruals were also there and certain realizations were also there. So if you see that the net cash position is around other financial liabilities around 250 plus. So that is there, and we have declared dividend of 55% also. So, first part is that we had, last year also we have declared a dividend of 150%. So, we are on the path what you have suggested. We are, whatever we are generating, a good amount of cash is being distributed amongst our shareholders, number one. But certain things are there, and we are trying to rope in some good infrastructure and offices at different places so that we can run a good amount of business from e-commerce business from that particular place. But leave about those things. Around 250 or 230 crores of cash, I don't think net cash is too much of cash for this company. And we will be certainly looking after, we are looking after certain business opportunities and certain plans are being, consultants are being working. So after that, obviously, if to a certain level, as per the guidelines, we will certainly share it with our shareholders. And of course, it will be distributed among the shareholders as per certain policy norms as and when it is decided. But so far, dividend is concerned, we are seeing is a consistent dividend paying company right now, sir.
Okay. And my next question would be regarding our creditor list. In our creditor list, I am able to see Jai Balaji Industry standing around 81 point something crores. So are we able to recover that amount? Because since the company past 2 years performance has been amazing and company is in profits now, so are we able to recover those 80 crore rupees?
First of all, it is our creditor list right now, rightly pointed out, sir. And we are taking all the necessary steps as per law to recover it. So because you know that it is a legal process, and as and when that thing, because you know, you see what happened in case of Standard Chartered. It was a legal process. We went through legal process and we got our money back. So here also, it is a legal process. As and when the court opens, it is now the ball is in the court. So how sub judice it is a matter. So how and when it is being done, it is of course depending upon the court proceeding. But we will leave, as a management, we can assure you, we will leave no stone unturned to realize the money from any source that is there, and it is realizable, sir. That much we can assure from our management that we are already on the job through legal process, sir.
Okay, thank you. And my last question would be regarding our joint venture with Mahindra. This quarter we have shown a loss of around 2.15 crore. So any timeline for it to be at the break-even stage, like probably this year or next year?
So like you see, just now if you are following the phone call, our director commercial has explained, because you know that is the major, because joint venture, first of all, our trust was to spread out across the country to have our presence shown. That phase is already on and we are there. So, but once this has been done, we are not been able to get that much of raw material for our RVSS that we have set across all along the country. So, you know, that is putting things because of that fixed cost, that is putting to our losses. So until unless that infrastructure is taken, so we will, I think, we will request you to at least wait for a year to see which way it goes. So because government is putting a lot of impetus, we are also trying. So what happens next? But as a conservative estimate, I tell you, a year of time has to be given. To see what happens and which way it goes, sir.
Okay, thank you so much and all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mustafa Arif from NRC. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. So the first question is a bookkeeping question. So on page 6 of the PPT, where you have given the breakup of the e-commerce revenue. So that totals up to about 165 crores. So there's a 20 crore amount missing. So what would be the contribution?
Pardon?
Page 6 of the PPT.
In the PPT, yeah.
So revenue e-commerce, 185 crore for the first half.
Yeah.
So e-auction, other income and e-procurement, that is about 165 crores.
Okay.
So 20 crores what would be the source of that?
Basically, project risk. The revenue from certain projects that we are undertaking, AMCs and other charges that we get, I think that is not counted in any of these three heads. That is why you are seeing a difference.
And this would be a one-time kind of amount, or?
It's not a one-time. See, we have development charges, we have AMC charges, and it is linked to milestone. So if the particular project is going for a few years, then it will be there for a few quarters. And if the project is just a one-time kind of an activity, then we get only in that particular quarter. Like, I'll give you an example of Udaan. So we developed this portal, say, about 4 years back. But every second year, there is some event going on. There is some, patch-up work going on. So for that, we earn some revenue. So we can't say that it is one-off kind of a thing. But it is definitely not a constant revenue stream.
I see. Okay. Thank you. And the second question would be regarding... So the earnest money deposit, the revenue that you earn, what would be the contribution they earn out of e-commerce? How much would be revenue from earnest money deposit? And how does this sort of work, if you could explain that?
Revenue from earnest money deposit?
There is no direct correlation. Because it keeps comes on, goes out. So we certainly, appreciably we do not earn that much. Basically our main upgrade earner is our service charges, registration fees, other things. Yeah, currently some sort of course there, but it comes in and goes out. It does not give, a constant revenue stream. It cannot be a constant revenue stream. Our revenue stream is our service charge, our registration fee and other allied activities and all these things, other transaction fees, others. So it of course adds to our top line, but not as a, we do not take it as a prime revenue earner.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanjay Nayak. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Yeah. Good afternoon.
I want to ask how many new scrapping centers open in Q2 FY24? And total scrapping, current scrapping centers with MSCB. Also request you to mention the in investor presentation, whatever Mahindra MSCB Recycling Private Limited regarding updates of the new scrapping centers and what are the developments are over there.
Your second solution, that is well noted. Right now, just before you, some of your fellow investor has also said, so we have noted it out. There will be, of course, a slide on that in the next new presentation center. So right now, we have got our presence as a scrapping center is at Noida, Chennai, Pune, Indore, Ahmedabad, Hyderabad, Bangalore, and Guwahati. Right. So, as of September. So, that is our presence over there.
Total scrapping centers, total scrapping and...
Then it has to be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8.
Actually, there are a lot of collection units and feeder units for these 8 scrapping centers. These are the centers for which we have already obtained the licenses and these are operating.
And new plant centers in next 2 quarters, is there any update on that?
Yeah, we are exploring, but as of now, nothing has been crystallized. We are exploring because, just now we told that we have expanded. Now there is a paucity of typical raw materials. We are looking for which state comes up with the policy. Depending upon that reaction of the state, we will go there. Because it's a very now becoming a thing, like we have to take a very prudent decision on that particular matter.
And present capacity of all the centers is around per annum, what is the capacity approximate, 15,000 vehicles or 20,000?
Taking it all together will be at least 1 lakh vehicles.
Huh.
But we are hardly getting even 10% of it. So that is the issue we are, biggest challenge that we are facing. Capacity is for more than 1 lakh vehicles per annum.
Per annum, that is including that total 8 centers.
Yeah, 8 centers so far. The biggest being Noida.
Achha, biggest thing is Noida.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and 1 to ask questions. The next question is from the line of Aman from Aman Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yes, sir. Sir, I have just two questions, and first question has two parts. Sir, I wanted to understand, this is regarding the coal auction. I just wanted to understand whether we are seeing private participation also, because the government has opened the sector to private people and communities as well. So are we seeing participation there? And secondly, I just wanted to understand on coal, whether we actually require this amount of coal, because the Coal India has told that we need 1 billion tons of coal, and how much percentage will we be routing through us, our platform, and whether the requirement is correct, and which industries do we see that this requirement will be going? And second, I'll ask after the answer, sir.
Okay, as far as coal auctions are concerned, you see, I'm not very clear as to what exactly is your question, because you're asking of private parties.
So yeah, private parties. The private people are also supplying you coal and keeping in our platform for auction, or how are we seeing that environment building in private players as well?
No. As on date, it is mainly Coal India that is auctioning through our platform. Then we are also catering to some smaller, organizations, like in the case of Jharkhand State Mineral Development Corporation. We are doing coal auctions for the government of Meghalaya. Then we are also doing some coal sale for Orissa Coal and Power Company. So this way there are other organizations, but largely it is restricted to state government entities or the Coal India. And apart from that, the question that you asked regarding, what is the percentage of the mined coal that will actually get auctioned, these are policy directives that are given by Ministry of Coal from time to time, depending upon what is the demand supply condition, the international market conditions, the grade of coal that is mined, where is the requirement. All those things are taken into account, and there are various schemes under which coal is sold. One is the retail sale, which we call the spot auction. The second thing is the linkage auctions. All the user industries, based on the sector in which they are operating, there is a linkage, and based on the FSAs that they have certain quota restricted, and for these auctions are carried out by NSTC. So this is basically something that's policy driven, and this is done by the Ministry of Coal itself through Coal India.
Okay, and just to follow up, ma'am, do we think, are we in line with the target of Coal India as 1 billion, or do we see bumpy roads ahead?
See, 1 million ton mining may be happening, but they already have long-term commitments to many entities within the country. That doesn't come under the purview of auctions.
Okay.
So there is a certain percentage, 85%, 90% is given to these long-term clients, right? So basically the left-out portion, as per time-to-time policy directives, it comes for auction. So if the mining activity increases, there is a more output, definitely the volume that will come for auctions will also increase in a proportionate manner.
Okay, ma'am, can you just tell me from which mine are we routing these on our platform? Is any particular mine of Coal India which we are routing completely or proportionately? If you can just broadly give us the names of the mines or the sectors in which we are dealing with.
It doesn't operate like that, or a particular mine is earmarked only for retail sale. No, it doesn't happen like that. Coal India also has about 7-8 subsidiaries who are doing these mining activities. and they already have, you know, long-term commitments to the state government generators and other ancillary units, different sectors, captive power plants. All these things are already there. These commitments are there for each of the collieries. So whatever they feel is, you know, beyond these FSAs or the commitments they already have, that is coming up for the spot auction.
Perfect. And the second question I have to ask, it's regarding your experience in this financial year. Any surprises have you seen? Because we are mostly a facilitator type of business. Any surprises have you seen in our value chains or in our business verticals, which we had expected and it has come out to be very good? Or any, and also surprise is one part. Second part, any backdrops have you seen? We were very optimistic about, and but we had seen a backdrop going forward, or is it ongoing? Any of your experience in both positive and negative side, ma'am?
See, as far as e-commerce is concerned, nothing happens overnight. Yes, there can be some kind of a project that comes our way once in a while, like the coal block auctions or the mineral block auctions and things like that. But they are not very big revenue earners for the company. So the revenues are actually coming from the e-sale of minerals, the forest produce, the timber, and then of course the main stake is the scrap. So that has a steady growth. And of course we are trying to add new and new clients, those who have such material for sale. As far as we are, we can see that more or less the most of the state governments and the central governments have been onboarded. Now the volumes that they will actually transact through our portal is something that we expect to grow in the next few years. So the volumes will go up, our revenue will also go up because of these things. From the private sector, last time also, as we had said, the iron ore auctions and sometimes even other minerals, people are trying out our platforms. But when they have their own internal consumption or requirement, obviously there will be not much sale. The surprise that, the negative side of the surprise that you wanted to probably know is, one thing I can give, iron ore prices, not just the prices have come down since last year. Now in the recent past, we have also witnessed that some of the private producers of iron ore, they have increased their consumption. So whatever is coming up for auction has reduced. So that is also something that is a one-off kind of a thing. So as and when the production goes out, their consumption pattern gets a little more, somewhat stabilized. Definitely, you know, the things will come up for auctioning in a better way. Actually, all the organizations will do a balancing act. Obviously, they have to see their internal consumption, their growth in that sector, plus whatever they can, well, surplus they have, whether they can mine more, whether they can adopt newer technologies so that the efficiencies are improved, so that they get better revenue by selling the material.
Ma'am, the second question was, well answered. The second question was, ma'am, I wanted to understand the push from the government on our on this PSU, MSTC. How is it push, and is the government setting targets for us? We have to achieve this. And going forward, how is the government support, energy, and what do you say, confidence in our business going forward?
There are two aspects to that. The government, as on date, doesn't support or, you know, tell anyone that they have to go to MSTC platform. Whatever business we are getting is totally on the basis of our experience, exposure, our merits, the infrastructure, our credentials, our past, everything. We are on a daily basis competing with our private sector participants, private sector organizations, and we do not get any major advantage of being in that. The only advantage is, yes, we have been in this e-commerce business for more than 2 decades now. So that gives more credibility, our credentials are improved, and the kind of, you know, the statutory liabilities or the compliances that we have to keep in place for carrying out any of the activities, especially e-commerce of natural resources, that obviously we command a better position in terms of compliance-related matters, in terms of audit, in terms of, you know, any issue that can be faced. We have faced a lot of scrutiny in the past, And each and every time our stand has been vindicated. And because of these credentials, even the government of India, wherever, you know, they feel that they can ask us to, you know, develop the platform, they are giving us the business. But not because we are a government of India undertaking, but more because we have proven our track record has been good. We have proven our credentials in the past 2 days.
Okay, sure. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Miraj from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the follow-up opportunity. My question is regarding the scrapping business that we have. The JV that we have, I wanted to understand that the government has already put out notices and their push is going on from their side. But from our end and from the JV partners' end, what are our initiatives that we've taken or we are currently undertaking to increase the sales on that end?
Right, because, you know, but if you are following the whole series of conversations in this regard, in this particular phone call, two things you might have heard. Like, first of all, government has put some initiatives. Now that initiatives are related to only government vehicles. And for that, we are getting a little bit of benefit. But the second part, that is the larger part, that is the private vehicles. For that, the state has to come up with the policies and the infrastructure, in particular the ATSA. And we are saying, like, we are facing the paucity of the raw materials. From our side, we have increased our reach to each nook and corner of the country in the form of setting up centers and the collection center and the collection facility also. So from our side, we are fully ready. All efforts have been made to get the thing. But still, the ecosystem is not mature enough to give us that much of raw materials, not only to our JV and other players in this field, they are also facing the same kind of shortage. So just now, a little bit in answer to our your fellow co-investor, answered, at least a year of time minimum is required to watch which way the things go, how the infrastructure increases, how the state government responds to this central initiative. Because, of course, vehicle is a state policy. And all the rules, regulations, like RTO and all these things has to be amended and done from the state government only, sir.
Okay, yeah. Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we take that as the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
So it has been quite a good and engaging session as always. And the queries that all the investors have been asking have actually, you know, made us improve our processes, performances. And we know that we are all answerable to you at the end of every quarter. So we are diligently following up on each of the suggestions, and suggestions even beyond these investor calls are always welcome. We look forward to them. Thank you so much.
Thank you. From my side.
On behalf of Equirus Securities Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.